Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So we're getting ready to talk about with Alex Hammerstone about information and online and AI and all of that stuff. You hear this right here? You know what that is? That's me tearing a piece of paper out of a composition book, and upon these pages I write the answers to the survey every day, and I walk in and I hand them to Ian Osant while he's doing the news, and Joe Cardosi with the traffic, and Tim Zimmer so they can read the results with me. And I suddenly realized there's got to be a better way to do this, a more high-tech way to do this than me actually writing them out and carrying them to y'all, right? I mean, all right, let's keep it this way. We'll keep it this way. We're not going to change it. So I had been asking since 6 o'clock with our little cerebral survey that we do to give me the most permanent, persistent, pesky, problematic potholes in the city. And from the responses I got, there are far too many to name potholes. So instead, we had to do it by neighborhood. Okay, so with that in mind, these are the answers that came in the top five as far as neighborhoods with the worst potholes. Number five, Holly Grove. Number four, Lake Vista. Number three, Algiers. You're not saying it right. Algiers. Tim, can you say it right or not?
Algiers.
There you go. That's right. Number two, Uptown. And number one, and this was, can y'all guess what number one was? Well, you have it in front of you. Would you have guessed otherwise? Would you have guessed this, Tim?
Oh, Kenner has some bad leg in potholes, I think.
Yeah, Kenner does, but this, I think. Yeah, and at number one, Lakeview, definitely the worst. And all of Tullis Drive, and it's a mess. So thank y'all for taking part in the survey. We'll have another one tomorrow. Thank y'all for reading the results, and thanks to the people that made the composition book and the pen. Alex Hammerstone joins us, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. Talk about what happens when you use a website or an app to buy something. What happens to your data? Who's tracking it, and what do they do with it? How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing really well. How you been?
I'm okay. Somebody texted this in, so I'm going to get it out of the way. Apparently, they didn't have an LA wallet or whatever it is to verify their age, so the computer took a picture of them, and they want to know now, is their picture on the internet forever as a way to verify their age, or has, even though the text says the image was deleted, that is that image still out there? Once it's out there, is it out there, I guess, is the question.
So the answer, like many things, is it really depends, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, oftentimes when we use an image for age verification or identity verification, the agreement is that it will be deleted. There's kind of two pieces to that, though, right? One is, are they really doing that? You know, you have no way of proving that they deleted that image. Mm-hmm. And the second is, even if they try to delete it, you know, is it somehow still stored in memory, or is it still somewhere out there? So the issue is, there's really no guarantee that even if someone tells you something's going to be deleted, that it will be. So I think that's the challenge.
And I'm guessing, I don't know, I don't want to attribute any false motives to anybody, but I'm guessing this is maybe a site that they, you know, I don't know if you had to prove your age, I don't know what was going on there, but I'm not quite sure that that's a site that you want to be sharing, especially when you talk about AI-generated images, your picture with, right?
Well, I think a couple things, right? So there are a lot of things that require age verification, right? Maybe it's they're ordering alcohol, or, you know, gambling sites, or,
yeah.
You know, Or there are other, you know, obviously other sites that you probably are thinking of as well. And the issue is, when you think about a lot of those sites that are only for adults, believe it or not, they oftentimes have very strong security because they have to, and they make a lot of money, right? So they can afford to. And they know that they would have really significant business problems if they had a breach. So oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes those types of adult sites will have very strong security in place.
All right, let's talk about when you I saw somebody, don't want to say anything wrong here because it could involve a lawyer, and I certainly don't want to get sued. But somebody, let's just say, hypothetically, if I'm giving away something and I say, you know, I got this, all you got to do is go to my website and sign up and you'll be eligible to win this. Even though I might not be soliciting people for the business, this is what I'm thinking of as I'm watching TV, even though I'm not soliciting people directly for the business that I'm engaged in, I could have a side hustle here by collecting information or not.
So it depends, right? I hate to keep using that answer, but I think it's just that there's so many different ways it can happen. And data is extremely valuable, right? And so nothing in life is free. And there's an old saying that, you know, if something is free, you are the product, right? No one's giving things away. And people want to collect information, and information is valuable, and it's sold for multiple reasons, but usually to create a profile of shoppers and buyers that can then be sold to marketers or advertisers or retailers or whomever. So, you know, certainly when people are, you know, collect that information, it oftentimes is also for the information, not just to be able to give out a prize or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So once you do willingly give your information, I would presume that at some point with some entities, you're going through to make yourself eligible. At some point you're going through and you're clicking on an acceptance agreement. Pardon me.
So we would hope so, right? And so it's like, you know, if you think about a lot of the marketing calls you get, there's really two types, right? Some are legitimate, whether you want to receive them or not, and some are illegitimate. So some are, you know, large companies that have to follow the rules and do follow the rules and worry about getting fined. And then there are other ones that maybe are based overseas or, you know, just unscrupulous that don't follow the rules. And so that's really the same thing with websites. You know, if you're dealing with a large company or a household name, they tend to have contractual and legal requirements that they have to do certain things with data, and they have rules around it, and they tend to follow those rules. But there are also a lot of sites that, you know, operate without those rules. You know, they're not, you know, concerned about following them. They're not concerned about breaking the law and so on and so forth. And it can be very difficult for a consumer to discern which type of site you're dealing with.
Generally speaking, it's not really, you can't say, and again, it goes back to what you were saying about it all depends, but it's not really a bad thing, because I know a lot of times I have been surprised by the pop-up ads that I get, but I have wound up buying some of those things because it was of interest to me, right?
So, and that's always an argument, right? You know, there are a lot of people that don't want to be tracked, and I get that. I'm a big believer in kind of consent, so people should know what information they're sharing and why. But, you know, I'd much rather get targeted ads about things I might actually want to buy than things that aren't targeted. The other thing to remember, because we talk a lot about pop-up blockers or ad blockers, mm-hmm. or things like that, is, you know, right now, you know, we're talking on the radio, and that's a free medium because it's advertising supported. So if everybody blocked all the ads, what would happen? You know, you'd have to come up with a different kind of model, whether it's a subscription model or so on and so forth. So especially when it comes to media and journalism, a lot of that is advertising supported. And I think it's important for people to think about that, you know, whether or not you want to be tracked. You know, if you're not willing to see advertising, then you're going to have to pay a fee to receive these services.
Well, I'm going to have to let you go, Alex, because I'm going to go answer this text that I'm kidding about that. I'm going to answer this text that I got. Apparently, they're recruiting me for this job that, you know, looks pretty good. $3,000 an hour working from home. How do they get that information? Is that a result of something that I signed up for, or is it a result as a spam call pops up on a request line? Or is that something that they just, for whatever reason, wherever this place is, they just start sending out job offers, and then I've never responded to these. What's the other side of this? Do you know anybody's ever responded to them, or any research that's been done into these job offer scams?
So unfortunately, I do know people that have responded, they're almost always a scam. There's a number of different ways those, you know, resume or job texts are scams. And the issue is once they have your data, you know, they'll either do something with that data, or they'll try to get you to pay an application fee, or, you know, they'll do a check scam where they'll say that, you know, you have the job and we're going to send you equipment, but you need to send us a check for it. Or there's multiple ways that happens. And the reason you receive it, it may be that at some point you gave out your number, but the issue is there are only so many phone numbers out there, right? And, you know, you can, with a computer, come up with a list of every phone number in existence, and it's pretty cheap to, then send these texts to every number. And, you know, over time, they kind of start to understand which numbers are active and which aren't and which ones are real, and create lists that the scammers will share. So they have a pretty good idea of which numbers are live, and they'll just cast a very wide net. And if you send out 3 or 4 of those messages, you might not get any results. But if you send out 100,000, the law of averages, you're going to find a lot of people that fall for it.
So does AI help these people in a way? Because it's all about crunching numbers, right? Create combinations of numbers where they can now, because of AI, and would that lead to the increase in the spam calls that we're getting, where they're now able to generate all the numbers that exist?
So it absolutely can be helpful in a number of ways. You know, AI can support a lot of scams. And, you know, one is generating the numbers. You know, that's a pretty easy task for modern computers, right? So they don't necessarily need AI. But what AI is very good at is taking large quantities of data and then doing something with it, right? So aggregating it. And it makes it easier to sort things. But the other thing with AI is it can help create scripts. So one of the things that, you know, we've been told for years, right, is that when you get these scam texts or phishing emails, they oftentimes are poorly written, written like somebody that, you know, isn't necessarily a native speaker of English, and to look out for those things. But with AI, they're able to create much better scripts, much better emails, much better texts, and things like that. So it supports the scammers in that way as well.
So is this ever going to go away? Is this going to continue to get worse?
I think, you know, we can go back thousands of years, right? And people were scamming each other.
But I meant specifically the volume of these job offers and the spam calls, because, man, I get tired of it. I know a lot of people do. And let me take a break. I just realized the time. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. And is there any way to insulate yourself from this? Because I don't know of any way that there is, and I really hate when I'm driving and I can't identify the number, so I will answer the phone thinking it might be a client or a business thing or whatever, or personal, and then it turns out to be one of these idiotic things. Alex Hammerstone's our guest, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. If you have any questions or comments about internet safety, security, scams, text them in to 504-260-1870. I will not keep your information, but I will pass your question along when we come back on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Got a false start there at 9:27. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Alex Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec, about internet scams and what people do with the information, etc. Somebody texted in and said they unsubscribe from emails. Is that really unsubscribe me, or does that just verify that I have a live email? That's an interesting question, like a hall of mirrors.
It's another one of those depends, right? So if it's a legitimate company sending you these emails, you know, they're going to follow the law, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's, a major company or a store that you're familiar with, they're going to unsubscribe you. Now, one thing to keep in mind is oftentimes you'll end up having signed up for 10 different email lists from the same company, and you may only be unsubscribing from one of those. But an unscrupulous company that's, sending spam emails anyway is not going to unsubscribe you. And, responding may let them know that you have a live email address.
So, you remember David Letterman with his top 10 lists?
Of course.
I always thought that it would be a good top 10 list to be either punchlines to jokes or unsolicited texts that people send you to get you to respond. You know, they send you these messages, like, and you're supposed to, I guess, say what, for example, like, you get a text that pops up, says, yeah, but this one's eating my popcorn. Another one says, mom's on a roof, won't come down. You get a third one that says, whatever you do, don't pick a cantaloupe, those kind of things. So when you reply with, or not reply, but when you hit delete and report as junk, does anybody pay any attention to that? Or is just that just an exercise that you do to make you feel better about yourself?
So if you report it as junk, it does get aggregated, right? So if a lot of people are reporting the same number as junk, that usually will end up on some kind of spam list or so forth. Obviously deleting any unsolicited text messages is important. Don't reply to it. The new thing, as you mentioned, is kind of these random texts that say, hey, are you going to be here for dinner? Or, right, what are you doing tonight? And the hope is that you'll think, oh, somebody sent that, by mistake. So you reply and say, hey, this seems like a wrong number text. And then they'll start some kind of conversation and try to scam you from there.
So just responding in and of itself is a good idea or a bad idea?
It's a bad idea for those. You just kind of want to let those kind of slide.
But if you slide or hit report as junk and unsubscribe, that's not the same as responding, right?
That's correct. Okay. That's not responding. That's kind of sending the notification to the carrier or to the to your phone company.
Is this any different, somebody texted in, really, than direct mail pieces? Because I tried to game the direct mail system just to see who was watching what with what list by changing names and responding to this ad or that ad. And I did it deliberately to see who would respond by, or what list I got on by responding to ads that included address labels. Alex, I kid you not, I have an entire hefty container full of address labels now with junk mail that I get from people that apparently sell lists. So is it the same kind of thing where, just like with direct mail pieces, they share lists about what people respond to, the same thing here or not? Or is it individual actors?
Absolutely. And so not only do kind of legitimate companies and marketing companies share these lists and sell your data and, sell lists of who's interested in what, also there's a whole underground economy of it too, right? Where, these things are sold and shared by unscrupulous, marketers and scammers and hackers and everybody else. So there really are kind of two economies there. So certainly, it's, when you think about it, right, when you go to the grocery store, you scan your little card and, they see that you buy one brand of hot dogs. Well, they'll sell that list so that another brand of hot dogs can send you a coupon. Mm-hmm. That's been going on forever. So these lists have always been sold and aggregated and shared, and it's a big income stream. You know, a lot of companies that you think are just selling a product actually make more money by selling data.
It's been going on for a long, long time. Somebody wants to know if one computer or phone is safer than the other. If you're talking about Android or Google phone, the one with the vanilla ice cream, I'm still not quite sure what they're selling on that one. But or about different browsers, are there browsers that you can use or not? And then somebody else wants to know, and I think it kind of piggybacks on this, about cookies. When they ask you to accept cookies, only necessary cookies, no cookies, what do you do?
Well, so to the phone piece, you know, the most important thing, and I'm not evading the question because there's kind of a lot of debate on what's most secure, but the most important piece is whatever you have, keep it updated, right? So when Apple or Android is sending out a security update, there's a reason for that. So make sure you keep your phone and your browser and your computer
updated. So let me jump in for a second. So when that happens, that means that in essence, they're saying, okay, the program didn't account for this. Somebody found a way to that. Or is it can it sometimes be, we found a way to make this better, we're going to give you an extra feature?
So both. Okay. But if it's a security update, it's generally marked as that, right? So when you get one of these updates for your phone to install, it usually will tell you why. It'll say, hey, we've added new features, which you probably don't want. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this is a security update. And the security updates are generally because they've discovered something that's a security risk and are issuing a patch to fix that.
But are they finding out things about you when you get the update?
And generally, they already know, right? I mean, it's but updating, you know, your software is generally not going to provide any more of your personal information to anyone. I always strongly encourage people to update their phones, their computers, their browsers, everything else.
Somebody wants to know about browsing history. Does it matter if you delete your browsing history? It matters if you want the people that you share a computer with to know what you're browsing. But what about in terms of being tracked or people violating your privacy online, et cetera?
It's one of those things. I mean, it can help, right? You know, the kind of the more you're removing information. But you know, your browsing history, if you're talking about what's stored on your own computer, as you mentioned, right, if you share a computer with somebody, you know, deleting that, they can't see where you were, at least not easily. But as far as, you know, deleting it from, you know, the sites you visit, that's much more difficult, right? I mean, there's certain laws like in Europe and things like that and certain privacy laws where you can request that your data is deleted, but that's a kind of a labor-intensive process.
So,
finish up. But the data's really out there. I mean, for a lot of us listening, we've been online for 10, 20, 30 years. And, you know, in all that time, these, you know, large dossiers about us and our buying habits and our interests and everything else and our demographics are already out there and built. And it's really hard to kind of, you know, put that back in the barn.
So are cookies necessarily bad?
Not necessarily. They're kind of two types, right? There's first party, which is installed by the site you're visiting, and then third party, which track you across different sites. You know, when it comes to, you know, especially first party, they can be very helpful, right? Because it's the reason that a link shows up a different color if you've already clicked on it. Mm-hmm. It's a reason that your shopping cart kind of remains on that site with the things that you put in there, even if you kind of left the site and come back. So it can be very helpful in those ways. But certainly, you know, the others that may track you across sites can be a cause for concern for a lot of people.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate the time and the information as always. Alex Hammerstone, Director of Advisory Solutions for Trusted Sec. We'll come back, talk to the one and only Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon, 9:35, 25 till 10. Traffic now, WWL.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see Rates and Fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.